I'm Denise Crosby, and you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast.
Hey, it's Tom Matthews from Return of the Living Dead and Friday the 13th, Part 6, to name a few. And you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
Hey, guys, Tyler Mann here, and you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast.
Hi, I'm John Russo, screenwriter of Night of the Living Dead. Welcome to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.
What up, Mean Militia? I'm Mean Joe Grizzly, and when I'm not actively trying to figure out what the fuck is going on at Blumhouse, I'm at the Grizzly Cave, watching movies, reading comics, listening to metal, and of course, crushing beers. And man, I went and seen the latest from Blumhouse, Imaginary, and it wasn't good at all. Blumhouse is just taking L's lately. But before we get started, please make sure to follow me on all social media pages, subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and subscribe to the YouTube channel by clicking the links in the description below. By doing that, you'll help me continue to talk about all forms of badassery. So, let's get started talking about Blumhouse's latest failure, Imaginary. This is Grizzly Grade Reviews. When Jessica moves her new husband and stepkids into her childhood home, her stepdaughter finds an old stuffed teddy bear and begins calling him Chauncey. But soon it is clear to Jessica that Chauncey isn't just a normal imaginary friend, but her imaginary friend that she abandoned years prior, and he is pissed. Oh man, I just added that little part in there at the end for a little zing, but this movie was awful and such a waste. So Imaginary is exactly what we don't need in horror right now, or really ever. And I'm not saying there is no need for gateway horror or so bad it's good horror. I, for one, love a lot of cheesy straight-to-VHS classics from the 80s. But cheesy, over-the-top acting and low-grade practical effects, it has a certain charm that can be appreciated. But this is not what's going on here. Imaginary has this incredible concept with so much potential that they put so little effort into it. It has no soul or heart to it whatsoever. And that's the problem. And starting with the casting, every single member of this cast besides Piper Braun, who plays Alice, and to a small extent, Becky Buckley, who plays Gloria, are really, really, really bad. And I'm not talking about daytime soap opera bad. I'm talking about really bad. The lead, DeWanda Wise, is particularly bad, and this could be due to the absolutely atrocious dialogue that we give even Madame Webb and Night Swim a run for their money. I honestly think that this movie's dialogue, just like with Night Swim, was written by AI, because real people don't talk like these people, guys. And not to mention, their chemistry as a family is non-existent. I don't buy into them being a family at all. It was just horrible casting. None of the casting members mesh well at all. The script, its flow, and its structure, it's exhausting. It takes forever for the story and plot to get to the damn point. It's not to say that this is a slow burn. It's just poorly paced. And when I say poorly paced, I'm telling you, you're going to be sitting there looking at your watch like, what in the fuck is taking so long for this movie to develop? It also assumes that the audiences are the audience members are all morons or too young to follow along. And yes, I meant that, too young to follow. Why do I say that? Well, when you watch this movie, it feels like the movie was once a bad Disney Channel movie that plays around the Halloween season, or it's a pretty decent bare bones concept for a horror movie, and they just got mashed together and they hoped that it was going to work. And they take the time to try to hold the crowd's hand through a story that is empty, soulless, and just completely lacks context. If they were going to take this long to develop this story, they could have at least done something more, I don't know, creative? How about imaginative? Like, literally, it's in the title, imaginary. They had, this thing had no imagination. It's such a good concept, and man, it just got wasted. But I don't think that all of this is bad. The majority, definitely, but there is one thing I liked, and I liked Chauncey's, like, big monster bear form that you briefly see throughout the second and third act, and you see pretty much throughout the entire trailer. It was pretty cool. I thought that design was pretty creepy looking and very opposing, and they just didn't do anything with it. You see it just a little bit here and there in the second and third act, and it was cool to see, but other than that, again, I feel like this concept is so phenomenal, and I just don't know how the fuck a movie called Imaginary could lack creativity and imagination. And unfortunately, we know the problem. It's Blumhouse. See, here's the thing. Blumhouse is, regardless of how anyone feels, Blumhouse is the face of horror right now in movies. Like, they produce more horror films than any company out there right now. And I am one of those that thinks that they have produced more good than they have bad. And after going through their catalog, I don't really think it's debatable. They've put out some bangers, and they ought to be proud of that. But Blumhouse's last three films, which are The Exorcist Believer, Night Swim, and now Imaginary, they're all abysmal in the quality department. And let's be clear, Night Swim was expected to be bad. But The Exorcist Believer and Imaginary, they have the advantage of one being a legacy sequel and the other has a conceptual advantage. But the decisions made as far as the script approval, casting, directors, distribution, all the stuff that goes into making into the movie making process, that's all on Blumhouse. Blumhouse thought it was a good idea to make a legacy sequel to The Exorcist, a movie that never needed a sequel and has been a critical failure every single time a sequel has been released. Even though I love The Exorcist 3, it was a critical failure. People thought that movie was ass, as far as the big critics go. I, for one, love The Exorcist 3, but the rest, they're all bad. None of them are worth watching. I don't give a damn how much you Possession fans are going to sit back and harp. The rest of those Exorcist films, other than the original and Exorcist 3, they are ass. And there's no way you're going to convince me otherwise. And then Blumhouse chose to let David Gordon Green direct it. Regardless of anyone's opinion on his Halloween trilogy as a whole, I, for one, feel like he delivered two of the best Halloween sequels we ever had, which is Halloween 2018 and Halloween Kills. But Halloween Ends was universally received poorly. No one liked it. It was such a complete 180 into the fucking dumpster on how they finished off that story. And then y'all decided to give him this, the legacy sequel to The Exorcist, and you let him write it after he shit the fucking bed on the writing for Halloween Ends. it wasn't going to work. I don't even know why y'all thought it was. And who the fuck said it was a good idea to make a movie about a haunted swimming pool? Jesus. Furthermore, how did Night Swim get a theatrical release? Night Swim, guys. Night Swim got a theatrical release, but Totally Killer didn't. What in the fuck? I mean, Totally Killer is pretty much in this, like, in this category of what I call retro movie slashers, which they take concepts from retro movies and they add slasher elements to it. You had Happy Death Day, that was Groundhog Day meets slashers. Then you had Freaky, which was Freaky Friday meets slashers. Now you had Totally Killer, which is Back in the Future meets slashers. And all three of those movies fucking work. All of them are great, fun watches. Are they the greatest horror movies ever? No. But they're very enjoyable, and they're damn sure worth a theatrical release. And I feel like Totally Killer is the best of the three. And you chose to put that shit on Amazon, where half the people don't have access to it, and let it get lost in the shuffle, where it might not ever even be seen by most people. And you gave Night Swim a fucking theatrical release instead? That makes no damn sense at all. And now we have Imaginary, a phenomenal idea that was given the blandest, most uncreative, and lazy script, casting, acting, everything. It was given the worst of everything. And they keep letting Jeff Wadlow direct these movies. I mean, this guy has no... He has directed three duds, guys, for Blumhouse. Three. He must be the nicest guy in the world, or he has so much dirt on Jason Blum or something, because he is not a fit director for horror. He can't do it. Why do these... Why do these inferior films keep making it into theaters? I don't get it, but I know what the answer is. It's pretty simple. It's money. We can all agree that money talks. It doesn't matter how bad the movie is. If it made money, or if it made any kind of profit, then it was a financial success. And unfortunately, these films, at least with The Exorcist, Believer, and Night Swim, were financial successes. The Exorcist budget of $30 million made $137 million. That's over four times its budget it made back in profit. Night Swim, budget of $15 million, it made $52.9 million. And as of right now, Imaginary's budget of $10 to $12 million, it has already made $9.3 million in its first weekend. That's why, guys, they make money. Blumhouse is very similar to these companies like New World Pictures, Canon Films, and Full Moon back in the 80s and 90s, but on a much larger scale, and most of the time, a difference in quality level. The problem is they keep asking for our money, giving us hope, and then delivering an inferior product. Those other companies that I named, those companies have given us some of the best horror films ever made. And it's also given us some of the worst horror films ever made. But their worst horror films have some kind of charm to them that makes people gravitate to them because they're so good they're bad. When Blumhouse does this, They don't have anything to appeal to it. They just make a shitty ass movie that's got to be written by AI, because again, no person is writing like that. Nobody talks the way those people talk in those movies. See examples, Night Swim and Imaginary. Nobody talks like that. Nobody acts that way. And I Blumhouse isn't doing the same thing as those companies. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. They produce more good than bad. But lately, it's been more bad, and Blumhouse used to give young new creative directors a shot, and it was great. And now they're like the McDonald's of horror, and that's something that has to change, and hopefully it will. But their latest movie, Imaginary, is a great concept with a lot of potential that is ultimately wasted by awful directing, writing, acting, and corporate decisions. That instead produces a generic pile of garbage with awful dialogue, bad performances, and a complete lack of creativity, and more importantly, a big waste of our time and money. So Blumhouse continues their streak in 2024 with no signs of turning things around. So with all that being said, Imaginary gets a 1.75 out of 5 and is absolutely not Grizzly grade guaranteed. Imaginary is currently in theaters, but I encourage you to watch Dune 2 instead. That movie's actually good. Don't waste your money on bad movies, guys. And that does it for another episode. Make sure you click the links in the description and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. And also follow the YouTube channel so you don't miss any of the content I'm bringing your way. Also, make sure you check out Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. He is a synthwave master and his music is being used throughout each episode. So check him out on Apple Music, Spotify, and YouTube. We got nothing coming out in theaters this week, so head on over to the YouTube channel and check out the first episode of Mean Joe's Monster Manual, or listen to my latest reviews on Lisa Frankenstein, Dune 2, or Stop Motion. Also, check out my TikTok, where I also release content. I do that several times a week. And before we go, I want to also say rest in peace Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball. Thank you so much for your stories, characters, and other creations. They have brought me so much happiness over my life, and I cannot put into words how much your work means to me. And if it wasn't for you, anime would have never went mainstream in America. So thank you so much, sir. You will be missed. And I want to thank y'all so much for your continued support. Without y'all, this isn't possible. So until next time, remember, I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.